thank you very much for organizing this. Thank you very much for inviting me. And thank you also to CERN for its very interesting paper. So let me start by saying that I really enjoy reading on being for reasons that are close to the ones already expressed by Bob Stern. So, first of all, the extreme clarity joined with the extreme faithfulness to the Hegelian text. This makes the book an important reference point for anyone who is interested in understanding one of perhaps the most cryptic texts in the history of philosophy. The simplicity of the account is in no way reductive of the richness of Hegel's visage of the law. And then the enthusiasm for Hegel accompanies the deep knowledge of Hegel and transpires from every page. And this is what perhaps brought Bob Stern to say that Stephen Fulgate is Hegel, or is the ideal barrister in a trial in which Hegel is the accused. So Stephen, as the barrister we all would want to have, should we ever end up in a philosophical trial in which we are accused, insofar as we are Hegel. And I agree, and I would add this assumption that Hegel exactly knew what he was writing about. This assumption of Hegel's perfection does not hinder, but rather promotes understanding and even critical evaluation. This according to the well-known hermeneutical principle of the fourth therefore covenant. Now I turn to the specific question I would like to address in my contribution. It is the question of the connection between Hegel's idea of logic and the specifically logical tradition. Evidently, for the clarification of this question, the reconstruction of the binomial Hegel and Frege is of the highest importance. The connection between the Hegelian and the Fregean notions of logic, although being crucial, has not been made object of a detailed analysis yet. There are already works that illuminate specific aspects of the connection. So there is the book by Wolf about the notion of concept in Kant and Frege with Hinz and Hegel. There is the work by D'Agostini on the notion of objective thought in Hegel and Frege, and then Brandom in an article of 2014 hints at the conception of judgment and inference in Kant, Hegel and Frege. Then there is another article by Koifer of 2005 on the continuity between the organic account of judgment concepts, inferences in Frege and Hegel. But there is not a comprehensive study about the connections between the two conceptions. In this perspective, Stephen's own being fills a major gap in that it contains, in chapters entitled Excursus, in the second volume of On Being, what can rightfully be seen as the most detailed comparison in any language between Hegel and Frege. And it is especially to this part of the book I would like to turn my attention. In what follows, I first address the general question, why is the question of the connection between Hegel's idea of logic and the specifically logical tradition important? Why is devoting a book on Hegel's logic also to this question important? And then I am going to comment on some theses presented by Stephen in his comparison between Hegel and Frege. So, why is this important? Why is this question, the question of the connection between Hegel's idea of logic and the tradition of the history of logic and philosophical logic, of which Frege can be seen as the grounding father, important? So, there is a certain embarrassment. So, this embarrassment is one of the main reasons why such an endeavor is important. So the embarrassment concerning the question about the relationship between Hegel's logic and logic as we understand and practice it today. The embarrassment probably is also related to the antipathy towards logic in many areas of the reception of Hegel in 20th century philosophy, which has perhaps contributed to this situation. So Croce's sarcastic observations about the formulette in his Logica del Concetto Puro are well known, and Marcuse's complaints about the sterility of the old and the new form of logic in one-dimensional man. And one can also think of the critique of mathematical logic in some developments of hermeneutics. A further sign of the embarrassment is the duplication of logical entries in philosophical dictionaries, logic and speculative dialectical logic, negation and negation negativity hate. Or the myopic reconstructions of the history of logic. For the Niels, Hegel's logic is curious, a mixture of metaphysics and epistemology. According to Boczensky, the period between the 16th and the 19th century is a dead period in the history of logic. And similarly, Boyer writes, the history of logic may be divided with some slight degree of oversimplification into three stages. First, Greek logic, second, scholastic logic, and third, mathematical logic. These and similar reconstructions are criticized or revised in more recent accounts. Peckhaus writes, Boyer's slight degree of oversimplification enabled him to skip 400 years of logical development and ignore the fact that Kant's transcendental logic, Hegel's metaphysics, and Mill's inductive logic were called logic too. And there are works that try to revise this canon of the history of logic by considering the importance of the German classical thinking about logic. Yet a full understanding of the role of Hegel's logic within the history of logic is still a desideratum. And any attempt at fully assess the fundamental contribution of the German classical, and more specifically Hegelian conception of logic, to logic as it is seen and practiced today, as to consider the binomial Hegel and Frege. And so I turn now to examining some views presented by Steven in his reconstruction of the binomial Hegel and Frege. In volume 2 of On Being, there are three extensive chapters called Excursus on Hegel and Frege that address the topics I have listed. And I am going to consider some of these topics. The first is the question of the objectivity of thought. And I'm going to refer to this aspect as using the expression Das Logische. So the first point is Das Logische. Because I think that this expression is very important and meaningful, because it's an expression introduced by Hegel in the philosophical terminology and interestingly, also systematically used by Frege in his work. So Steven writes, one similarity between Hegel and Frege is that both understand logic and logical entities, such as numbers, to be objective and to have a necessary structure of their own. In the foundations, Frege states that what is objective is what is independent of our representations, Vorstellungen, and the like. So in Hegel's Dialectics, Gadamer stresses that Hegel coins a new expression, which cannot be found in such a systematic use before Hegel. And this expression is the expression Das Logische. Das Logische in Hegel stands as nutso, as often stressed, for a non-mental and a non-subjective realm. Interestingly, we find the same use of Das Logische in Frege, and l'idea che Gedanken di objective realm, that is logic's subject matter, as a non-empirical and a non-mental network. So, objective thought for Frege is not empirical because we cannot see it. We cannot see, for example, let's take the concept of the transcendental. This is an example of objective thought. It is not empirical because we cannot see it and we cannot touch it. And it is non-mental because we cannot say that it is mine. A mental representation would be, for example, my feeling of tiredness or concentration right now. But we cannot say about an objective thought, my, for example, my transcendental, my concept of proof. Okay. So there are evidently questions in Frege. So Dammett stresses that there are problems concerning Frege's notion of the third realm, of this third realm that is defined as non-mental and non-empirical. And these questions also are discussed in works on the metaphysical basis of logic. So the questions are, what is the relationship between the empirical, the mental, and the objective or logical sphere? And do thoughts, logical forms, objective thoughts exist? And if so, how do they exist? The comparison between Hegel and Frege can help to answer these questions, especially Frege's theoretical background is to be seen in the tradition of objective idealism. In Hegel, there is a fully fledged conception of the metaphysical basis of logic. So we have a common theoretical background, a common theoretical and linguistic and cultural basis. We see in Hegel a fully fledged conception of what this ground is, in my view. So in this aspect, the Hegelian conception of logic and of das Logische is a way of solving these problems that are open and are still open in debates about the nature of objective thought, about the nature of logical forms. So debates that are now typical for the field that is so-called the metaphysical basis of logic. Stephen Holgate further deepens the question concerning the relationship between the Fregean and the Hegelian notion of objective thought by writing, yet Frege also insists that the objective realm of logic is to be distinguished from the handlable, that's handheimliche, special actor. The objective, he continues, is not what actually exists in space and time, but it is the logoverb, das Gesetzmäßige, conceptual judgment. It is the logical and rational itself. So das Logische exists as law, and this is Frege's insight stressed by Stephen, and this is a sign one can further argue of Frege's neo-Kantianism, especially of the neo-Kantianism von Baden, which results in a so-called Erneuerung des Hegelianismus. So Windelband is the main proponent of this kind of neo-Kantianism, which becomes neo-Hegelianism. Gabriel has worked about these aspects and claims in relation to the neo-Kantian influence on Frege's notion of das Logische, Werte do not exist in space and time. So we have the non-empirical nature of objective thoughts. they are valid or not valid. They have objectivity and necessity. Thus, we see in Frege that the specific notion of logical objectivity is declined in terms of a notion, the notion of validity, which will turn out crucial for the further development of logic. And it is a notion that is strongly related to the notion, to the Hegelian notion of the slogan. But the question is what Frege defines as logovern conceptual, judgeable, das logische, which is one and the same as das vernünftige for Hegel? Now, the fundamental philosophical question is, does das vernünftige exist? If so, how? Hegel would claim that it exists not in terms of äußere Realität, but in terms of being actual, Wirklichkeit. And Frege would claim it does not actually exist in space and time. And in Der Gedanke, he stresses Der Gedanke wirkt, ganz anders als wie ein Hammer wirkt, aber wirkt, indem kommuniziert wird. So, the objective thought existiert, that it doesn't exist in space and time, according to Frege, but then Frege in Der Gedanke argues that it exists in terms of having an effect. In terms of vehicle. And so we see in Hegel, we already have the fully fledged notion of the connection between Vernunftigkeit and Wirklichkeit that we have sketched in Hegel. Then, always concerning this first aspect, for Frege, this is what Stephen writes in the part of the second volume about the objectivity of thought. For Frege, the laws of number are thus not really applicable to external things. They are not laws of nature, but they are certainly applicable to judgments that are made about things in the external world. They are laws of the laws of nature. For Hegel, as Moore puts it, the stuff of thinking constitutes the stuff of nature itself. For Frege, the laws of logic are objective and independent, but do not govern nature directly. They regulate the judgments we make about nature. The pure concept for Hegel is the innermost nature of objects, their simple life rules, as well as of the subjective thinking of them, that is, the logical nature that animates spirit, that moves and works it. So, to focus on what Stephen says, one can see that we have on the one side Frege, who claims that logical laws are not laws of nature, but laws of nature. And then we have Hegel, who claims that das logische, so the realm studied by logic, is the nature of human beings. And the question is this a major difference? So I don't think it is a major difference. For if we see that in Hegel's use of das logische, there is this strong inheritance of a transcendentalist perspective, transcendentalist. So, in Hegel's use, das logische also stands for Hegel's belonging to the transcendental philosophical tradition. In Hegel, as according to the transcendental tradition, as well as for Frege, the thought examined in the logic is not first-level thought about reality, but second-level thought about thought. But Hegel has a more sophisticated metaphysics of logic. Das logische for him is part of reality. And within reality. Das logische is sunk in natural language and natural logic. It is the specific way of being, feeling, acting, and interacting of humans. So in Hegel, the second level falls back on the first. So we see the transcendental idealistic aspect implies that logic does not deal directly with reality, but with the forms of our thought about reality. But in Hegel, these forms exist. and they exist in reality. They exist also in our natural language, in our natural interactions, even in our feeling. Das Logische is within our feelings, as Hegel says in the introduction in the encyclopedia. And I turn to the second aspect, which is strongly connected with the first, and it is the connection between logic and psychology, and the fact that we can talk about anti-psychologism also in Hegel, not only in Frege. Stephen writes that the third similarity between Hegel and Frege is that both distinguish clearly between logic and psychology, and reject what is often called psychologism. So Stephen sees this as strongly linked with the view held by both Hegel and Frege, and Kant before Hegel, that logic does not tell us how we think, but how we must think. And this is, I completely agree with this view. This is already clear, it is already clear, this view is the view that tells us immediately that Kant himself was not a psychologistic about logic. Exactly, because he stresses in the Jesche Logik that logic is not the study of how we think, but it is the study of how we must think. So it is normative, it is prescriptive. For Frege, I further quote, Stephen, logic tells us not how we do think in everyday situations, but how we must think. More specifically, how we must judge and make inferences if we are not to fail of the truth. And much the same could be said of logic as Hegel conceives it, albeit without the restriction to judgment and inference. So here we have the connection to truth, which I am going to consider especially, but it is very important that we pay attention to this aspect, because the point is the focus on truth in both Frege's notion of logic and Hegel's notion of logic. But the point here is logic tells us how we must think. And in Hegel, we do not have the restriction to judgment and inference, because Hegel's logic evidently is an analysis not only of the forms of judgment and the syllogistic forms, but it is an analysis of the categories, the concepts. But on the other hand, however, so we have here a continuity, and on the other hand, this is always Stephen. However, Hegel's logic is not merely prescriptive, because it discloses what thought and being must be and so actually are. It reveals the pure concept, which is the innermost nature of objects, their simple life pulse, as well as of the subjective thinking of them. That is the logical nature that animates spirit, that moves and works in. For Hegel, concrete existence does deviate in many ways from what is rational. Hegel is as aware of that as anyone. In this view, however, it deviates not merely from what should be, but from the rationality that must be and is actually at work in being. I especially like this passage. the two points are, logic is not merely prescriptive because it discloses, this is Hegel, so this is the conception of the normativity of logic in Hegel and of the descriptivity of logic in Hegel. So logic is not merely prescriptive because it discloses what thought and being must be and so actually are. And external reality deviates not merely from what should be, but from the rationality that is actually at work in being. So you see, must be and so actually are, you always already see that here we have the idea that the what must be is. What must be is within being. So I take this to mean that logical forms are active in what we think when we think well, according to truth. Well, so thinking well means thinking according to truth. They are not an external instance that forces us from the outside. It is within our concrete, natural, everyday thinking when it is true. So the point is, if you think truthfully, you think logically. The case that separates Hegel from Frege is, so the first point is basically, I guess, common to both Hegel and Frege. The case that separates Hegel from Frege is when you follow logical laws and yet think badly. If you do, this means for Hegel that the logical laws are faulty and need to be criticized and revised. The ultimate norm for Hegel is the actual truth and soundness of our concrete thought. So let's consider an example of these two points. So the first example is a Hegelian example. If anyone, when awaking on a winter morning, hears the creaking of the carriage on the street, and is thus led to conclude that it has frozen hard in the night, he has gone through a syllogistic operation, an operation which is every day repeated under the greatest variety of conditions. So we see here that Hegel states logical forms. So here he is really talking about syllogistic forms, and his view is that they are there in the way we normally think and reason. And so here in this the main idea is that here we identify the form that is active in our way of thinking, for example modus ponens, and call it a modus ponens, fix it, and use it as a normative instance in order to assess whether other inferences are valid or not, okay? But the form is there. If we think truthfully, then we have the form, the good form. And a similar account can be found in Russell's idea of the task of philosophical logic as extracting forms from their concrete integuments, and it is not in principle incompatible with Frege's account. Yet, what is genuinely Hegelian and not Fregean is the idea that natural reasoning is often right and logic as theory goes wrong. And I think this is what Steven means when he says that Frege's logic is Verstandes logic. This connects Hegel to non-classical approaches to logic and separates him from Frege. For example, that is typical, and perhaps you have heard these examples that are typically made in the non-classical logical tradition, especially in the paraconsistent tradition of logic, especially in the tradition of relevant logic. So the point is, let's consider the classical logical principle of ex contradictione quodlibet. Ex contradictione quodlibet says that from a contradiction everything follows. So it is a classical logical principle, and the main point in the non-classical approach to logic is that nobody thinks according to these rules. So it is a completely, if we look at natural language, we see that it doesn't make any sense to say, for example, Warwick is in England, and it is not the case that Warwick is in England, therefore I am a fried egg. So, and this is also the Hegelian approach to logic. So concrete instances of inferences in natural language are good and do not follow the logical rules, this doesn't mean that they have to be revised. And if concrete inferences in natural language are bad and follow logical rules, this means that logical rules should be revised. And so we come to from my point of view, this is the capital question. So I think this is the really $100 question. The question concerns the connection of between logic and truth. And This is the question concerning the analytic notion of logic. So Stevens writes, speculative logic is thus a logic of truth in the strongest sense. It discloses what there is, what there must be, not just how objects of cognition must be thought, or just how we should think if we wish to avoid contradicting ourselves. So the fact that speculative logic is a logic of truth is, for Stevens, one and the same as the ontological notion of logic. For Frege, too, logic is not concerned with how thoughts, regardless of truth value, follow from thoughts. But, as noted above, truth is the goal of logic. So, to recall the previous quote, for Frege, so this is the quote from the passage about the normativity of logic, and you can see here how the normativity of logic is rooted in the question of truth, in Frege, and evidently also in Hegel. For Frege, logic tells us not how we do think in everyday situation, but how we must think, more specifically, how we must judge and make inferences, if we are not to fail of the truth. And we can further stress this point by quoting other passages from Frege. In Der Gedanke, Frege writes, I assign to logic the task of discovering the laws of truth, not of assertion or thought. Frege defines logic as the science of the most general laws of truth. He writes, the laws of logic are nothing else than an unfolding of the content of the word truth. Anyone who has failed to grasp the meaning of this word cannot attain to any clear idea of what the task of logic is. The question of the analytic notion of logic is perhaps the capital question for assessing the general issue of the connection between Hegel's logic and the history of logic and philosophical logic. In its light, a series of clarifications become possible. It becomes possible to understand the precise meaning of Hegel's thoughts on logic and metaphysics, dismissing the dominant view according to which in Hegel's writing there would be a confusion between the two disciplines. The concept of truth, commonly intended, is what positively joins logic and metaphysics. It becomes possible to highlight the non-psychologistic nature of Hegel's view on logic. The concept of truth is not an exclusively epistemic or mental affair. To underline that Hegel's logic, although non-formalized and non-formalistic in principle, is not anti-formal, insofar as it is concerned with the forms of truth. To stress that Hegel's view on logic is perfectly in line with the logical tradition and with Frege himself. To point out that Hegel's logic more specifically corresponds to what today is called philosophical logic. As such, it is not incompatible in principle with the mathematical approach to logic and with the mathematical appraisal of logic, though including an attention for truth that is not peculiar for mathematical logic. So these are all points that I'm interested in stressing in my current work. Not on all the points probably are would be stressed by Stephen. Stephen focus on the basic idea of logic as the science of truth in both in Frege and Hegel, and I would derive from it a whole bunch of points. I'm not sure that he agrees. And I don't think, for example, that there are a series of questions that are discussed in Stephen's book, and these are the questions. So, formal logic. Is Hegel's logic formal? Can we say that it is a formal logic? If it is it a formal logic in the sense in which Frege's logic is supposed to be a formal logic? Is it at all compatible with the formal logic? Is it at all compatible with formalization? Is it at all compatible with the idea of logic as a calculus? So these are all the questions that arise evidently from these points. So then There are many other points I would like to address, but there is no panic because they have endorsed the miniaturistic approach, or very detailed approach that was stressed by Bobby in relation to Stephen's work. And in any case, I'm very grateful to have had the occasion to further deepen these aspects. Thank you very much for this.